248 DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Green Pond, South Carolina, where a 33-year-old man has been charged with the attempted murder of the sole survivor of a house fire over the weekend, where six people were found dead. Pastor Curtis Magwood lost a family member.
We can't even identify him. So going beyond that part, the last time we saw him was the last time that we ever see him. So that's something that we have to forever live with. And that's the most hurtful part of the whole thing.
The survivor is in critical condition. Police say additional charges are pending based on the victim's autopsies. The search is on in Baltimore for at least two people who opened fire at a block party yesterday morning, killing two and injuring at least 28, many of them teenagers. The city's recorded almost 130 homicides this year. Mayor Brandon Scott tells CBS Mornings it's high time Congress passed tougher gun laws.
It should not be easier for a young person to go online and order a ghost gun than it is for me to get some Claritin D from my local neighborhood pharmacy.
For many Americans, it's a steamy July 4th holiday. Meteorologist Stephanie Abrams at the Weather Channel.
We'll see a lot of sunshine and above average heat in the Midwest. It doesn't last long. These 90s in Minneapolis will turn into the 70s by Wednesday. I can't say the same for the Southeast. The heat is firmly locked in place. Highs in the 90s and heat indices above 100. On the 4th of July, our temperatures are going to soar in the Northwest, where our highs will be 15 degrees above average.
The UK has just recorded its hottest June on record. Officials in Orlando say a police officer shot and killed a man during a traffic stop today after he pulled him over and saw drugs in the car. Chief Eric Smith.
The suspect disobeyed the commands given by the officer and made a movement as to retrieve a firearm. One officer shot the suspect, who was an adult Hispanic male. The suspect was transported to the hospital and pronounced deceased.
No weapon was found. Chief Smith says the officer's body cam video will be released within a month. Flying overseas this summer, beware.
Air traffic authority Eurocontrol is warning that the airspace around many major European destinations is overloaded from backlogs created by striking industry workers and increased demand by military flights linked to the war in Ukraine. Result, your flight in or out of London, Brussels, and eight other cities may be delayed or rerouted. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
The sky will light up like never before tomorrow night. The American Pyrotechnics Association is predicting a record $2.3 billion plus in sales this 4th of July season. The Dow is up 46 points. This is CBS News.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We could find out as early as this week how extensively Governor Evers plans to veto the state budget bill. Evers applied 50 partial vetoes to the last budget. Wisconsin governors have sweeping veto authority, but they're limited by the state Supreme Court rulings and the way Republican lawmakers worded many budget provisions. The budget spends $99 billion over 2 years. That includes $10 billion in new spending, but also $4 billion in tax cuts. Some of Evers' allies want him to veto the entire budget. Evers objects to tax cuts for Wisconsin's highest earners and cuts to defund University of Wisconsin diversity offices. The fight over the future of Wisconsin's election administrator is likely headed to the courts. Wisconsin's six elections commissioners deadlocked on nominating Megan Wolf for reappointment last week. Commissioner Ann Jacobs is one of the three Democratic commissioners who abstained. She says the language of the laws make it clear that Wolf stays on the job.
And they begin with the clause, if a vacancy occurs. Quite simply, under the law itself, a vacancy hasn't occurred.
Jacobs points to the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling that let Fred Prehn stay on the Natural Resources Board after his term expired. Nevertheless, Senate Republicans are pushing to force a confirmation vote. But Jacobs says Wolf doesn't have to cooperate.
Why would she go when she is the administrator and there's nothing to have a hearing about?
Many Republicans hold Wolf responsible for perceived problems with Wisconsin's election system. Jacobs was on Upfront on WISN-TV yesterday. The cost of houses in Wisconsin has more than doubled over the last 10 years. That's a lot faster than other states in the Midwest. Luke Mathers explains why.
A new report out from the University of Wisconsin Extension shows the state's median home sale price has more than doubled this past decade. The report uses data from the Wisconsin Realtors Association. The lack of housing supply following the Great Recession has prevented the state from keeping up with demand. The difference between supply and demand resulted in the staggering increase in prices. Since February 2012, Wisconsin went from the second lowest median home sale price in the Midwest to the second highest, according to the report. Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
There's a new push in Congress to stabilize milk prices and save family farms. The Milk from Family Dairies Act would set a minimum price that processors would have to pay farmers. It would also encourage farmers not to overproduce, which sends milk prices down. Lynn McBride is active in the National Family Farm Coalition.
Our plan would send signals to dairy farmers across the country about the amount of milk that's demanded in the market, and any dairy farmer who's interested in exceeding that wouldn't be paid the same as all the dairy farmers who are meeting that level.
The coalition would like to see the proposal included in the U.S. Farm Bill. Congress is set to vote on it this fall. Now that the U.S. Supreme Court is banning race as a factor in college admissions, Native Americans in higher education are planning for what's next. Mike Moan reports.
Cheryl Crazy Bull of the American Indian College Fund says Natives technically aren't considered a race because of their tribal citizenship. But she says while it was limited, Indigenous students did benefit from affirmative action.
We have been able to go to law school, go to medical school, because the broad implications of affirmative action are rooted in the value of that diversity.
She sees this as an opportunity for colleges and universities to expand their outreach into Native communities. I'm Mike Moan.
And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. People in Portage County can have their private well water tested for nitrates during the Portage County Fair in Amherst. County staff will be there Thursday through Sunday, July 13th through the 16th, and will test your water for free. You'll need to bring your well water in a clean, disposable container. Label it on the outside with your name or address. Make sure to collect the water from a source not connected to any treatment device. An outside faucet works best. Allow the water to run for 5 to 10 minutes before you collect your sample. You'll need at least a half cup of water. Samples can be analyzed on the spot, or you can leave your sample and they'll mail you the results. A large number of recent crashes on Highway 172 has the attention of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Here's Pete Schwabo with the story.
According to the Green Bay Press-Gazette, there were 17 crashes in 16 days for the period ending June 28th. The crashes took place on the stretch between I-43 and I-41. The Wisconsin DOT is asking drivers, especially on a high-traffic holiday weekend, to be aware of other drivers and road workers, adding that even a minor crash can turn 172 into a parking lot. A DOT spokesperson also wanted to remind drivers to put down their phones and that phone usage in a work zone is illegal.
4th of July is tomorrow, and many municipalities are reminding residents to follow city ordinances when it comes to fireworks. If it leaves the ground or explodes, it's illegal to possess or light off without a permit. If fireworks contain more than 1/4 of a grain of explosive powder, makes a bang, discharges a flame, or leaves the ground, they are illegal without a permit. Fireworks that are allowed include sparklers, stationary cones and fountains, toy snakes, smoke bombs, caps, noisemakers, and confetti poppers that contain less than 1/4 of a grain of explosives. Always have water ready to go when lighting fireworks in case of a fire. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A hot and mainly beautiful day today as temperatures heat up to the mid to upper 80s. Dew points in the upper 60s, though, will make it sticky humid in the northwest parts of the state. The heat and humidity in the Northwoods is going to act as fuel for severe storms by this evening. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a slight risk of severe weather in a zone from La Crosse to Wausau and continuing northeastward into the Northwoods of Florence County. All other counties north and west of these areas are in a risk of severe weather this evening. There may be a few daytime pop-up storms, which will be minor. The biggest threat will fire up around 7 p.m. in northwest Wisconsin and into the St. Croix Valley. They will be isolated at first with risks of large hail, damaging winds, and a possible tornado. As they continue to trek eastward through the state towards Eau Claire and Wausau, they will have the potential to turn into a more of a lined-out storm, which also poses a threat of strong damaging wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour and large hail. Have a marvelous Monday and stay weather savvy, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers host the Cubs. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The crew is back home after their road trip. The Brewers taking 2 out of 3 games in Pittsburgh after beating the Pirates yesterday 6-3. William Contreras got things going in the third. Brian Anderson with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
The Brewers now with runners at first and second and good speed on the bags for William Contreras. Contreras sends it into deep left center field. That is way back there, and Contreras sends it out of here. Flip the scoreboard in the third inning as Contreras hits a bomb out of here. Very few go to that part of the ballpark in Pittsburgh. Number 9 for Contreras.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
Yeah, I mean, William's having a really nice season. I mean, he's having an excellent season. Our catchers in general are having excellent seasons. And Williams is the offensive player combined with the defensive player that we were hoping we could get, and we're lucky to have him.
Colin Ray got the win. Closer Devin Williams got the save and learned he's headed to the All-Star game again this year.
It's a really special honor to be selected to this game, so it's just kind of that I keep working to get better. You know, I'm really grateful.
So the Brewers opening a 4-game home series today, Julio Teheran against the Cubs lefty Drew Smyly, first pitch at 1:10. Golf, Bernhard Langer wins the U.S. Seniors Open in Stevens Point, finishing 7 under par, 2 shots ahead of Steve Stricker, 3 ahead of Jerry Kelly. Langer on setting a new PGA Tour record with 46 career wins.
Feels awesome. It's been a long time coming, but very, very happy. Never thought it would happen at a U.S. Senior Open, but I'm very thrilled that, you know, the record of 46 wins happened this week. It's certainly one of the greatest tournaments we ever compete in, and you know, to beat this field where everybody was here, especially Stricker and Kelly on their home grounds, is a very special feeling. Very grateful.
College football. The Badgers have suspended linebacker Jordan Turner after admitting he was arrested on an OWI charge. Turner was the second leading tackler for the Badgers last season. NBA, the Bucks re-signing Jay Crowder to a 1-year deal. Over the weekend, they also signed a 2-year deal with Brooke Lopez, worth $48 million. Bucks GM John Horst on signing Chris Middleton, despite only playing in 33 games last season.
Chris obviously had stops and starts last year. It's part of anyone's NBA journey. Probably easy to forget the Iron Man that he was prior to that, and really the amount of games, the minutes, playoffs, regular season Chris has played in his career. Very competitive person who takes great care of his body, you know, is going to have a great offseason, and I think we'll have a great next season. So Chris has been core to who we are, and hopefully we can have him back.
That's Bucks GM John Horst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosures.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors.
We bleed green and gold. And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Joining us, this is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, joined on this holiday Monday by Mr. Luke Mathers. Luke, how you doing?
What's up, Will? It's it's Happy Monday. It is we're kind of in the middle of a holiday weekend right now, but you and I are doing the hard work of, you know, making sure that these conversations are had here on a Monday, and thrilled to be with you on the airwaves.
Hashtag for the people. And we got Aaron on the board today. Aaron, how you doing?
Doing well. Had a nice weekend. Unexpectedly got to visit my family in Manitowoc. It's a long story, but it was a good time.
Somebody come and kidnap you? Like, you just get thrown in the back of a van and just boom, you were in Manitowoc or what?
No, okay. One of my friends from Manitowoc came to help me move this last weekend, which I very appreciated, despite the air quality. Yeah. But then his truck broke down, so he had to take it in. So I drove him up to Manitowoc.
There you go.
And then came back home. And when it's fixed, I'm figuring out exactly how I'm going to do that. But we'll figure it out.
Yeah, you cross that bridge when you get to it.
Well, that's a problem we can figure out at a later date. So, Luke, it is, as you noted, holiday weekend-ish, long extended holiday weekend, yeah. Kind of. We're putting in the work.
If you're out there working and you're listening to Town Call right now here on Civic Media, give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can share your thoughts with us on this Monday. Or if you're relaxing, getting ready, you know, gonna watch a parade or go see some fireworks today, you can give us a call too, 844-967-2789.
And today, Luke, because the news never stops and we are always on that grind, we are continuing the conversation from last week regarding some of the monumental Supreme Court decisions of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in particular, as the court ended its yearly session. Today, we want to cover the 303 creative case, and I'd like to pose the question to you, the people of Wisconsin: should private businesses be allowed to turn away paying customers? At the center of this debate is the Colorado wedding website designer. Opinion by Neil Gorsuch founds that the First Amendment could bar Colorado from requiring 303 Creative to serve same-sex couples, as ruled by the Supreme Court on Friday. Reading over from a piece at the Denver Post, it noted that the High Court ruled for Littleton graphic artist Lori Smith, who said her Christian faith and right to free speech prevent her from creating wedding websites for same-sex couples. Smith, who runs the business 303 Creative, wanted to advertise that she would only make wedding websites for straight couples, and she challenged Colorado's public accommodation law, which says that if she offers wedding websites to the public, she must provide them to all customers. Businesses that violate the law can be fined, among other penalties. Most states, of course, have such laws. Justice Neil Gorsuch authored the Justice's 6-3 decision, which found that Smith's wedding websites are expressive content protected by the First Amendment right to free speech, and that means Colorado cannot force Smith to say or create messages that she does not believe.
Yeah, and so it's an interesting 6-3 ruling, because this entire case, Will, is made up on a hypothetical situation. There was no, it's something that we, 45 minutes went quick on Friday. And the fact that we didn't get to touch on this, we wanted to discuss it today. And it is interesting to note that the potential harm, the what led to this lawsuit of Smith challenging this Colorado law was all on hypothetical grounds. Nobody actually requested a website for a gay wedding. It did not exist. The request was just hypothetical. It was a thought exercise, and this made its way all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And we're finding out now that the person involved that was quoted as the individual that Smith did not want to serve, she was reserving her right to refuse service to, never even asked for this. So it's just at the center of it now. This is what it takes to get a case before the current U.S. Supreme Court. And
oh, go ahead.
It's to me just a very, the fact that that is now coming out after this 6-3 decision, where the rights for same-sex marriage individuals in Colorado and around the nation now are being rolled back because of a hypothetical harm that did not actually take place.
It's terrifying precedence, Luke. If you're able to craft a hypothetical case to fit whatever your worldview or your agenda might be, you're able to specifically set the parameters of the case to make it as easy to have the final decision that you are searching for as possible. In this situation, obviously, Smith had her agenda lined out, and she was able to concoct this scenario that, as you noted, was not accurate. There was a piece from the New Republic that noted, according to Lori Smith, there was a couple named Stuart and Mike, and according to court filings from the plaintiff, Stuart contacted Smith in September of 2016 about his wedding to Mike, quote, early next year, writing that they would love some design work done for our invites, place names, etc. We might also stretch to a website. Stuart included his phone number, email address, and the URL of his own website, as he was a designer to the site showed. Now, this week, the New Republic reached out to Stuart to ask him about his inquiry, and he was very, very surprised. In fact, he told the Associated Press that he never submitted the request and didn't know his name was invoked in the lawsuit until he was contacted this week by that reporter from the New Republic, which first reported his denial. Stuart said, quote, I was incredibly surprised given the fact that I've been happily married to a woman for the last 15 years. He added he was a designer and could design his own website if needed to, and was very concerned that no one had checked into the validity of the request cited by Smith until very recently. Yikes, Luke, yikes.
Is this the George Santos of legal cases of 2023? Just everything being made up surrounding it?
Sure seems that way.
When questioned, Kristen Wagner, who is Lori Smith's attorney, said that the wedding request naming Stuart was submitted through Smith's website, denied it was fabricated, and then said, you know, it's undisputed that the request was received. Whether that was a troll and not a genuine request, or if it was someone who was looking for that, is really irrelevant to the case. As in, I got caught with my pants down, so... Well, maybe somebody was just trolling us. It doesn't really matter because the legal ramifications are going to matter. I can't understand this, Luke.
Yeah, we want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call on this Monday afternoon here in the month of July. Share your thoughts with us. 844-967-2789. I'm Luke. He's Will. And you can call or text that number. We're also going to get to the most Wisconsin headlines of the week. We missed them on Friday, so going to get those coming up in the final segment of the show today. And we're going to be giving away some Brewers tickets, Will.
Is that so? I have been told that is, in fact, so. If you would like to win some Brewers tickets for the upcoming Saturday, the 8th game against the Reds, who are currently tied for first place with our Milwaukee Brewers in the NL Central, we got 4 Brewers tickets for you. First pitch at 3:10 p.m. Give us your most Wisconsin headline of the week, and you could be going to see the Brewers this Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to that. You can catch the Brewers here on Civic Media, WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, as well as WISS Oshkosh Air Support out of the Fox Valley. You can listen to the Brewers all summer long on those Civic Media radio stations, and you can listen to Civic Media programming for a chance to win these Brewers tickets, as Will alluded to. But it is a very striking turn of events, Will, when it comes to how many of these Supreme Court cases all came out in a pretty much firestorm at the end of last week. They're finishing up their session, and now we are left looking through the pieces of what these decisions will mean. And so we want to hear your thoughts. Is this acceptable for the government to say, yeah, a business can turn away any individual from their business? And Will, you wanted to share your thoughts.
Well, you know, I'm going to take an opinion that might not be expected from me based on, you know, my worldview and a lot of other situations. But if we're going to, you know, if we're going to have an economic system based on free market capitalism, conceptually, yeah, realistically, a business should be able to turn away a paying customer that they don't want to support. In my opinion, the issue with this case is that it's a protected class. It's discriminatory to go after someone for that. Because, you know, where do we draw the line then, Luke? Hypothetically, if I'm a designer and I don't want to serve straight couples, or if I'm a construction worker or a plumber and I don't want to serve people who vote Republican, I can guarantee there would not be the same sentiment publicly from a lot of the people who are cheering on this case if they were the ones all of a sudden that were not allowed or that were being prevented from receiving the service. And I think I'm a big believer in avoiding hypocrisy in every way, shape, and form, right? Either the rules are standard and they're applied across the board, or they're not. And this case just screams that rules are not applied equally across the board. I make the joke frequently about, you know, why is it always you three with the Harry Potter meme? And in this situation, it was Kagan, Jackson, and Sotomayor in dissent, as usual, ruling that calling the ruling, quote, profoundly wrong. Sotomayor read the dissent aloud from the bench Friday in a sign of particular disagreement with the majority, noting that it's a sad day in American constitutional law and in the lives of LGBT people. The Supreme Court declares that a particular kind of business, though open to the public, has a constitutional right to refuse to serve members of a protected class, doing so for the first time in its history.
Yeah, and so it is a very telling ruling. I think that dissent was scathing. I believe one of the justices read it out loud, which is not a typical delivery for dissent as well when it came to that decision and the dissent that went along with it last week. And it is, I mean, where do you draw the line? For a very long time in this country, Will, it was perfectly acceptable for businesses to put whites only out in the front of their restaurants or whatever business it was. And we know that that is discrimination and that is not acceptable. And we've moved away from that. And last week's ruling, I think, is taking us in a step in the wrong direction. It is, as you pointed out, the first time in the nation that is now being rolled back, where we had...
Justice Sotomayor pointed that out. I just read her words.
Yes.
I do appreciate the shout-out, though.
Yes. But as in the quote that you just referenced from the justice, she accurately was pointing out that this is a historic step back for what the nation has deemed discrimination. And so now there's going to be carve-outs. I have it's a scary feeling to think that there could be more carve-outs and where these decisions will go now with this U.S. Supreme Court out there making these rulings.
I mean, the line, that's exactly what it's going to come down to, is where do we draw the line? And we're going to see in the coming years where that happens. Though I think this relates back to a lot of the court cases from last week in other ways, and we're going to touch on that right after the break. If you'd like to contribute to today's conversation, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. It's Holiday Monday. We'll be right back after the break.
We'll be right back. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go.
I just can't.
I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Join the Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department for their 76th annual celebration and street dance on Saturday, July 8th at 1559 Main Street in downtown Rudolph. There will be activities for the kids and plenty of food trucks and other refreshments. The parade begins at 3:30 p.m. and the street dance begins at 5 p.m. when Southbound takes the stage. Don't forget to stick around for the fireworks at dusk presented by the Braddock Company. Help celebrate 76 years of community service with the Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department Saturday, July 8th at 1559 Main Street in downtown Rudolph. Don't miss it.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 91 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered storms. Tonight, lows dip down to about 66. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 91, a mix of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Grown Radio, if you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are continuing our conversation from last week on Chief Justice John Roberts and the very horrible, no good, terrible week that the American people had to suffer through after a number of Supreme Court rulings. Specifically, today we are discussing the 303 Creative case, and we're asking you, the people of Wisconsin, should private businesses be allowed to turn away paying customers? Luke, you noted before the break the comparisons to, you know, when we sit here and we say, where do you draw the line? So today it's free speech to allow discrimination against same-sex couples. We have made so much progress as a nation in the last, you know, 60, 70 years, going back to the days you compared it to, you know, whites-only signs in front of diners. And to me, that kind of immediately reminded me of the other, or one of, there was three massive rulings last weekend that we touched on. But one of the other rulings regarding affirmative action in higher learning, particularly in colleges around the United States. And a quote that I dropped at the end of Friday's episode that I just want to reiterate because I think it's incredibly, incredibly impactful. Chief Justice John Roberts, in a footnote, exempted military academies from the ruling in light of, quote, the potentially distinct interests, unquote, they present. There had been discussion of whether the military needed to maintain affirmative action in training its future officer corps based on a judgment that it would be bad for military discipline and cohesiveness if the leadership did not reflect the diversity of the rank and file troops who did the bulk of fighting and dying in wars. So it does seem, Luke, like the court is actively pulling us further and further back towards some of these situations that, as a nation, I thought growing up we had moved past this. Evidently, that is not the case. And I think that Justice Jackson, in dissenting, had a really, really excellent quote. She said, "The court has come to rest on the bottom line conclusion that racial diversity in higher education is only worth potentially preserving insofar as it might be needed to prepare Black Americans and other underrepresented minorities for success in the bunker, not the boardroom." So she is quite literally noting you are okay with diversity in your military academies because we don't want a bunch of, you know, white officers sending minority people out to die. But when it comes to the economic superstructure of American society, who are the executives in the boardrooms? Who are the ones making the decisions for Fortune 500 companies? Then diversity does not matter, and we're still going to allow our elite institutions they basically still have legacy admissions as a form of affirmative action, right? That was not ruled against. It was simply against racial lines. Where do we draw this line, Luke?
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court is deciding that it's going to draw the line where it sees fit, and this is the wrapping up of another 6-3. That's a supermajority on this court, and I have a feeling without changes to the current makeup of the court, this is going to be what the status quo is going to be for what decisions get announced from this current U.S. Supreme Court for the foreseeable future. Will.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how fast that's going to change. The note that John Roberts added, he contends that rates-based admissions programs further compelling interests at our nation's military academies, as no military academy is a party to these cases, as none of the courts below addressed the propriety of race-based admission system in that context. The opinion also does not address the issue in light of the potentially distinct interests that military academies may present. Rules for thee, not for me. We're going to pick and choose where we apply these certain laws. As I said before the break, it's the hypocrisy that bugs me the most. You can't be a nation of rules. You can't be a nation of laws if you are going to allow certain subsets of individuals protection from the law without binding them to it, while binding others to the law without protecting them from it.
Yeah. Folks, we want to hear your thoughts on this Monday afternoon, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app and take us with you wherever you go throughout this holiday weekend as well. If you're leaving where you're typically listening to Civic Media, just take the app with us or with you. You'll have us with you wherever you go. Head over to the Apple or Google Play stores and just type in Civic Media. It's got a great new interface. You can call and text right from the app. So whatever show you're listening to, way easier to engage with as a listener. Download the Civic Media app, 844-967-2789. You can give us a call. Share your thoughts on this Monday afternoon. And, Will, So between that affirmative action, the 303 creative case, rolling back anti-discrimination protections in Colorado, the student loan forgiveness plan being thrown out by this U.S. Supreme Court, there was a lot going on when it came to the nation's highest court last week. There's also a lot going on here in the state of Wisconsin. As you pointed out, the news does not end.
No, it's 24/7. Protecting democracy is a full-time job, and in my opinion, that should be a 32-hour full-time work week. But it's not, because it is election season, and in Wisconsin in particular, a story
election
that we covered.
Election season? What? In the middle of July? Beginning of July? Will, what are you talking
about? Special election, my friend. July 18th, come out, 24th Assembly District. Get out and vote. Make sure your voice is heard. But outside of just being election season, democracy in general is always on the line. And a conversation that we had last week regarding the Wisconsin Election Commission and Megan Wolf's role as administrator. Luke, there was a little interesting development ever since then. We saw that
there's quite a few developments. There's a multi steps here that we got to catch the listening audience up on. Because
there's
quite a bit of news
time
around it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, to make the entire first step as easily digestible as possible, I'm going to present it as this. And Luke, you can correct me where I'm wrong, but
happy to do so.
That is Luke's job here, by the way, is to correct me when I'm wrong. I will not claim to be the smartest person in the room, but that's why I like to hang out with Luke. So there are six people on the Wisconsin Election Commission, three conservatives, three liberals. And in order to be reappointed, you need a majority of support. The three conservatives voted yes, while the three liberals abstained. Thus, Megan Wolf would not go to the Senate for confirmation, where potentially she might not be reconfirmed, as a number of Senate conservatives, as we talked about last week, are very upset with her failure to follow through on Donald Trump's plan to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Now, nobody can be appointed as administrator of the WEC without a majority vote of the commissioner. It is the law. And because it was only three out of six votes, obviously, I'm no mathematician, but that does not equal a majority. A majority is four. So Wolf was not reappointed. And Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu has decided to make the argument that because only three people voted total, that does constitute a majority. Thus, she has been reappointed. Did I cover that accurately, Luke?
Yeah, that's pretty much the set where we got to, I believe, on Tuesday of last week. That was the Wisconsin Elections Commission's vote breakdown for Tuesday of last week. And then, because late night is a big theme for some individuals at the Wisconsin legislature, after passing the budget...
I thought
budget,
you were just throwing shade my way.
No. Yeah, I know you are, too, but that's all fine and mighty.
I'm catching strays over here.
The state Senate, after approving what the Joint Finance Committee had sent them for the upcoming two-year biannual budget, they, without really telling their Democratic colleagues, took up a resolution to accept that 3-0 vote. As you noted, it was 3-0 because of the other three commissioners.
The three abstentions, yes.
Yep. They sat out the vote, essentially. They voted present, but not yay or nay. The Wisconsin State Senate said, well, we're going to take that 3-0 vote, and we're going to count that as a reappointment vote. And so around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night on Wednesday last week, the state Senate essentially snuck this in and said, well, we're gonna take action at a later date, whether or not to approve or deny the reappointment request. But we're going to take that vote by the Wisconsin Elections Commission this week and count it as a reappointment.
Yes. And so then since Tuesday, the next steps are, you know, those pesky private emails getting in the way of politicians doing and saying what they want. Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu privately expressed doubts about whether the chamber could remove Megan Wolf if she wasn't first reappointed by the commissions, according to an email the senator sent to a group of conservatives, citing the state Supreme Court case that established that political appointees can remain in their posts past the time their term expires. Shout out to Fred Breen, as we frequently talk about, that is the Fred Breen rule. LeMahieu told supporters that if Republicans move to oust Wolf, it could have the opposite effect and lead to the state's top election official staying in her job indefinitely. If you weren't able to catch last Tuesday's episode, we had Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign here to talk about
formerly of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. That gentleman should be bird watching or playing some poker right now because he is officially retired.
True, as of Saturday, correct?
As of the end of the day, Friday, I believe.
End of the day, Friday. So we caught Matt right before his happy, happy retirement. Great work over the years, Matt. But we talked pretty extensively how well Megan Wolf is regarded both at the state and at the national level. She is one of the best in the country at what she does. And a lot of this attempt to replace her is pretty much solely done because she did her job regarding the 2020 election in the state of Wisconsin. And as we are now noting from the piece over at APG Wisconsin, LeMahieu is well aware that he does not have the authority to push Megan Wolf out right now, that there was not a majority of election commission votes.
That's what he was saying privately in those emails. But when he left the state Senate floor on Wednesday evening, again, around 10:30, 11 o'clock Wednesday night, the Senate Majority Leader was singing a different tune. He was saying that he was on firm legal ground, that he had consulted an attorney and said that it was okay for them to be able to take that 3-0 vote because he's like, listen, it's a majority of commissioners, 3-0, that's the majority wins, without noting that the actual state statute for how a Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator gets appointed is with a majority of the commissioners. It doesn't say of the voting commissioners. And so there is some back and forth. It looks like this is going to go to the courts, and it will be interesting to see how the new Supreme Court will interpret that, because I don't know if this is going to be a case that gets heard before August 1st, August 1st being the day that new justice-elect Janet Protasiewicz is going to be put on the court, and it will be interesting to see what the new makeup of the Supreme Court, when this legal battle arrives there, will view the Fred Breen rule, because, again, that is what conservatives throughout 2021 and 2022, they coordinated with Frederick Breen and the state Senate, refusing to hear an appointment for Sandra Nast, the appointee to the Natural Resources Board by the Evers administration, to fill a term that ended on April 30th, 2021. And Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu was totally fine with just waiting out and saying, well, there's no confirmation, so we're not going to take the confirmation vote. It's not going to happen, and Fred Breen can continue to serve on, despite the fact that his term, he was 18, 20 months beyond his expiration date.
Almost and 2 years.
So the state Senate was totally fine ignoring their state constitution obligation when it came to confirming appointees. More than 200 Evers administration appointees sat unconfirmed throughout 2022, and the state Senate wrapped up doing any confirmations. If I recall correctly, I don't know if they did any in 2022. I think that there was sat a list the entire time. And even though they did meet and legislate for about 3 months last year, I don't know if there was any reappointment or appointment confirmation hearings throughout the entire year, calendar year of 2022. I would have to check the numbers on that for sure, Will, but I'm fairly confident that early in 2022, Devin LeMahieu said, we're not going to do any more appointments. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. If you want to contribute your thoughts, 844-967-2789. We're going to get to most Wisconsin headlines of the week and going to give away some Brewers tickets.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. 470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit therifant.com/disclosures.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Join the Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department for their 76th annual street dance Saturday, July 8th at 1559 Main Street in Rudolph. Parade begins at 3:30 p.m. with activities for the kids, food trucks and refreshments, the music of Southbound from 5 to 10 p.m. and fireworks at dusk by the Braddock Company. The Hub City Concert Series presents the Jerry Schmidt Band on Friday, July 7th at 7 p.m. at the Wenzel Family Plaza, 201 South Chestnut Avenue in Marshfield. This outdoor concert includes outdoor games and local food trucks.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with a high of 91. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tonight, slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 66. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 91. A mix of clouds and sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 86.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
That joke for like every holiday, no matter what's coming up.
My favorite one though is which countries celebrate or which countries have the 4th of July, and then it's all of them because there's still a July 4th.
July 4th.
It's still, yeah.
you'll make a great father in someday, Luke. So today we were talking Supreme Court. And last week's number of rulings question presented was, should private businesses be allowed to turn away paying customers? If you'd like to contribute to the forum, please give us a call, 844-967-2789. But Luke, we didn't get a chance to jump to our most Wisconsin headline of the week, Friday segment.
I
was going to
say, our Friday segment is starting to become a Monday segment. This is kind of a regular thing almost now.
Well, you know, when I first envisioned the most Wisconsin headline of the week topic that I thought of totally by myself with no help whatsoever, I was thinking it'd be a fun way to, you know, juice up Fridays, give us a little something to do. But Friday news dumps these past few weeks, Luke, there have just been
They've been a doozy.
That needs to be covered. Yeah. It's slapping us down. So I believe you said I was able to go first this week, right? Very gracious of you to grant me that ability.
You having the opportunity to, you know, get out, maybe hedge a little early of lead right out of the gate. I think that's only fair, seeing as you're trying to play catch up when it comes to the scoreboard from week to week.
I was going to offer you the rock, paper, scissors chance, but I know that you tend to not want to get slapped down in that regard, because you know that if there's one thing I'm really good at, it's rock, paper, scissors. So my most Wisconsin headline of the week, reading over from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, beer vendor for governor? Wisconsin's Ryan Strand opens the door for a 2026 run if Tony Evers doesn't. Wisconsin's next race for governor, which takes place 3 years from now, has its first potential contender after longtime beer vendor Ryan Strand announced Monday he would run for the state's top office if Democratic Governor Tony Evers decides not to pursue a third term. He is 51 years old out of Maguanago, Wisconsin, and has served refreshments to Brewers fans for 35 years. As the founder and managing member of Drinks in the Seats, a political action committee formed in 2016 to lobby on behalf of in-seat beer vendors, he is the first Democratic candidate to make an official statement about a potential 2026 candidacy less than 8 months after Tony Evers was elected to his second term. Luke, this is about as Wisconsin as it gets. Between his job serving beer at AmFam, working as a machinist and staffing the front desk at a local dry cleaner, he estimates he works about 70 hours a week and believes his work experience sets him apart from other potential candidates. I'm all for it, man. I'm all for it. Get the beer vendors into the governor's mansion.
All right. I mean, that's pretty Wisconsin. Anybody walking around thinking, oh, yeah, I could absolutely do that job and just throw their name in the ring for random titles. Sure. Sure. I think that's a pretty Wisconsin one.
Well, he's a man of the people. He understands what the people of Wisconsin want to hear.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying I don't know if I don't know if I necessarily agree with him that those jobs make him uniquely qualified to run the state. That's all. But you know, once you've
if
had
there
it,
is a state, it would be this state. If yes, for those yes. qualifications to make up, it would be this state if there was one.
All right, maybe I don't know. Maybe like one of the Dakotas that might be a good fit with it. There's smaller population. Yeah, not to throw shade at our friends to the west, but.
You're throwing shade on Wisconsin by even equating us to them.
No, I'm saying that we're better than them by saying that maybe it would be okay if the guy... Whatever. Besides the point. Are you done? Is that the only submission you've got for most Wisconsin headline of the week this week? Or are you going to rapid fire a couple more?
Well, I had three or four other good ones that I told you I was more than willing to share when you were concerned that you may have lost yours. But
I just couldn't remember what it was, but I found it. Mine. And this is the headline over at the Wisconsin State Journal. J.J. Watt lands a new gig for the upcoming NFL season. And maybe it's not the headline itself that's the most Wisconsin headline, but the,
CBS, right?
The content of how J.J. announced it to the public, that is what makes it the most Wisconsin. Because he went to social media, which is how he announced when he was leaving the Texans and going to the Cardinals. Because there was a bunch of... you know, talk about where he was going to land when he was a free agent, and there were all these reports and rumors coming out where he was going to go, and JJ took to social media and was like, that's nonsense, those are all nonsense, here's the source, this is where I'm going, and he tweeted out a picture, or I forget if it was on Facebook, whatever social media platform he used, with him in Cardinals gear to announce that he was signing with the Arizona Cardinals. And so he went to social media last week to announce that he got a new job at CVS. And then he ended the video. And a couple minutes later, he was like, oh, sorry, I didn't read it. It's CBS, not CVS. And very Midwestern of him that he kind of goofed a little bit to then, you know, clarify. He's going to be joining CBS as an NFL analyst for the upcoming season. And I was like, you know, when you got to get an op into your new job announcement, that's pretty Wisconsin.
I'm feeling very confident this week. Let's put it that way.
Are you? Okay. All right, fair. I thought mine was pretty good, so. Yeah.
I'm not disparaging yours in any way, shape, or form, but I am disparaging yours. I feel pretty good about this one. Can we get a drum roll, Aaron?
Most Wisconsin headline of last week is... Wisconsin beer vendor for governor.
Cha-ching! Mark it. Score it. That's what I'm talking about, Aaron. Nice job. You're back in my good graces.
I believe I still lead 3-2. So that's okay.
I think it's two to two.
Went up 3-1 last week.
I didn't count one of those. I haven't figured out why.
Because, you're trying to stop the steal again on the count.
I need to come up with I'll figure something out over the holiday tomorrow that I think I could argue before the Supreme Court, and they will likely side with if
you just have to fly Roberts or Gorsuch or one of them on a private jet. Just find a private jet real quick that's open after the 4th of July, and you should be all set.
If any of our listeners have a private jet they would like to allow me to borrow, I would like to wine and dine these Supreme Court justices. I really, really need to have this victory. So thank you for joining us today, everybody. If you would like to participate in the rest of our week's forums, please give us a call. Shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are off tomorrow for the holiday. Have a wonderful 4th of July, everyone. Get outside, spend some time with your family. Have some nice brats and beer and maybe throw some cheese in there. Luke, how are you going to be spending your 4th?
Not working. There we go.
I like that. I like to hear that. Aaron, how about you? You got any big plans?
Yeah, I'm going to go visit a friend's family 4th of July party and also wonder why I'm not getting wined and dined instead of the Supreme Court. Why not just hit it right at the local level?
True. Well, because Luke is still cutting the paycheck, so maybe I got to figure out a way to get in between that. Good point. So the offer still stands. If anybody has a private jet, please let me know.
We'll have to give away some Brewers tickets on Wednesday then.
That's what I'm hearing. Brewers tickets on Wednesdays. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Have a wonderful 4th of July. Take it easy, party people.
Talk to y'all then. If you're
talking, they will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear
you. You can do it. WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial.